Hello and welcome back to the Lair of Lore, episode number 26 we're going with, not counting all of the lost episodes that I posted like a month ago.
26, we'll go with 26.
Yeah, 26 is probably the closest we're going to get. Screw all numbering conventions that normal human beings have ever acknowledged. I am Cap.
And I'm Miriam.
We are here mostly to talk about the Ixalan story, because we have managed to blissfully jump, skip, and ignore most of it. Largely by not recording, or by recording and then losing the episodes.
Everything.
Yeah, I mean, look, all of the quote-unquote lost episodes, because there were at least five that I found while doing my great video purge, I think they're only on our Patreon, because I did not edit them at all.
Those are the Scotland ones, correct?
Not all of them. Some of them were. Some of them were also just stuff that we've done since September. Because the last...
That's sad.
Yeah.
That was before we lost the will to live.
Yeah. Sorry. So, basic idea. Both of us work at a really, really terrible place.
It's dysfunctional as hell.
Yeah, and it's basically made it so that neither of us was really willing to even commit to recording. We were very good at coming up with excuses to not record.
Yep.
And additionally, I was running a 365-day streaming challenge, which is done now! We're done! Which isn't to say we're not done streaming, we're just not streaming every single day forever and ever. Now we're only streaming five times a week.
I was gonna say, 5 times a day is just like...
That's probably what today's gonna be, because it's the last day before I go back to my last week of work.
Yes, I'm still there, but, you know, they've started ignoring me a little bit more. So, I'm okay.
I'm still trying to decide if I'm gonna call in sick at all this week. I feel like butts, but I always feel like butts. So, yes, we are here to basically do a coverage of the whole Ixalan story, because we covered it a little bit in our episodes leading up to the release of Ixalan, but honestly, we recorded episodes about, like, the cards for Rivals of Ixalan and such, and I believe those are also in the lost episodes, partially because there was swearing and I didn't want to edit again once I found them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of where we're at with that. So we decided, well, it's all done now, and for some reason the Gatewatch is all going to Dominaria, so let's all cover both halves of the Ixalan story. Miriam is going to be a little bit more up-to-date on the actual Ixalan story, and I will be the person with a little bit more of the background information, since pretty much all of this ties into Ravnica. And
like in Nutbar, I read it all in, like, a morning.
Yeah. And, Ravnica, the original, is way before both of our times, but I went back and read those books a while ago, and also the weird secondary stories that were related, and Return to Ravnica was still before Miriam's time with magic, so that's where we're about at here.
If you hear any weird clicking, that's me accidentally smacking my knitting needles against the table.
Yes, to be clear, so if you, those of you who are listening on MTGCast or on our site, lairoflore.com, there is a video version of this, though since we're not even showing card images, it's probably not necessary for anyone, but just so you're aware, it exists.
Mm-hmm.
So, basic idea for Ixalan is, hey, we broke Zendikar, so we need the new adventure plane.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you have an adventure plane with planeswalkers? Well, you have something that stops them from leaving. It's a one-way cat door.
Mm-hmm.
They're allowed in, but they can't leave.
Let's stick you in a fishbowl and put a lid on it. Now figure out how to break out.
Pretty much. And I think their response was basically, we'll break the fishbowl.
Pretty much. Actually, that is almost exactly what they did to get out.
So, basic idea. Jace shows up on... Well, Jace doesn't even show up. We cut to Jace... alone, confused, on an island for, like, the nth time in his life, having no idea who in the heck he is.
Yep. But this time, it's a much more constructive build. It's a more constructive human building.
Yes, because he spends most of his early time with no memory basically thinking he's nuts. Because he's accidentally casting illusions. And they're talking to him. And weirdly acting as though they know exactly who he is. But not telling him.
Yep.
Lots of good instances, like, trying to... I love where there's one where he says, well, what if I could... Maybe I can will fire into existence.
Yeah,
as though he apparently knows what magic is, but doesn't know how to use it. So he's just like, maybe I can just will some fire into existence. And then turns away, and then turns back, and a fire is starting. And paradoxically, he somehow manages to feed fuel into it without ever realizing that it's not warm. And it turns out it's just an illusion fire.
It's literally, he's like, I'm gonna try, oh my god, there's fire. I have a fish. I'm gonna cook the fish.
Yep.
Fishy, why you no cook?
Yeah. That's when he realized. And then, I actually like this because it's a call out to the mechanic for the phantasmal creatures, which were one of the things that Jace used to summon, is that they all had this effect where if they were targeted by a spell or ability, then they would just get sacrificed, so they'd immediately die. So he, like, actually himself pokes the fire, and the fire just goes away. He's like, god damn, so, okay, clearly I'm insane, clearly I'm a bad person, and then he starts hallucinating all of these other people who are around.
Yes.
And I think this is also sort of a development to, there's a thing with his illusions on his current card, whose name is escaping me, the one that's basically a romance novel cover.
That one is not... Oh, wait. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the one...
We made so much fun with that card.
Yeah. But the special thing about it is, and I'm 100% stealing a line from the mana pool here, is that the illusions he makes on his new card are okay if you target them with an ability, you just can't target them with a spell. So he discovered, like, I can't hand my illusions a shovel and tell them to dig.
Yeah.
So he finally figured out, oh my god, if I make a better illusion, I can hand them a shovel, and then they can dig for me. Not, oh god, I accidentally poked the fake fire and now it's gone. I just like that that actually got developed for the story.
So, other fun stuff about this this first story, it's called Jace Alone, is the name of the chapter.
It's very long.
It's really long. But he's basically like...
A lot of the Excel stuff is long, though.
He's like... I am kind of useless.
Yeah, he has multiple clothing. Yeah, it's like, this clothing is impractical. It's all set up for, like, cold weather. Why the hell am I wearing this when I came here?
Exactly.
What kind of idiot was I?
Why am I so wimpy? Because So, something that I think is hilarious, and wow, you are the height of vanity. Apparently, he's been using his illusion powers to maintain that he is a muscular human being when he's like the wimpiest noodle armed person.
I'm just gonna say my biggest issue with this is that now that he's been living on Ixalan for some amount of time and has actually built that up, basically the story writers managed to write away so that they don't actually have to change the way they draw him, because he still looks strong.
Mm-hmm.
It's just now he actually is a bit stronger.
Yeah, he's not a noodly arm.
I know, I'm just annoyed that they basically brought it up and then immediately introduced a thing that makes it not actually relevant.
I admit I would love to see a drawing of pasty, noodly armed Jace.
Pasty, noodly arm, like, actual... I'm sorry, now I'm remembering a line from the one of the Rivals of Ixalan stories. About, from Vraska, about, how much teenage Vraska and teenage Jace would have gotten along, and how there would have been no bookshops safe from them. They're basically they are literal magic nerds.
I know,
well,
and, like...
Well, they were. Vraska's not so,
so much
dorky.
Anymore. Okay, but she still talks about, like, wanting to cuddle up in her apartment with a new book of histories.
Yeah. Like, they're basically both nerd. Massive nerds, and I love it. Because Look, I will never say this again. They made Jace sympathetic!
I know, instead of, like, eye-rolling. That's the whole thing about this storyline that I'm like, I don't actually hate you.
I
find
know!
You pedantic and annoying. What?
It's glorious. I don't hate him.
Like, I wanted to call this episode, what was it? The time where Jace is not the most annoying person at the party anymore.
See, and I'm more willing to just go with, oh my god, we don't hate Jace here. Because the reason I don't like your name is because it makes it sound like we're accusing someone else of being insipid and boring. I don't think anyone is all that bad for Ixalan.
No, some of them are actually quite, dare I say, complex?
Yeah. Like, so yes, Jace is trapped on an island. So,
which he comes to call Useless Island, which I'll come back to later. I love it. It's Useless Island. And he thinks he's going crazy. Slowly.
Not that slowly.
Yeah, it's interesting how a lot of... he's figuring out that... Well, one, he's figuring out how to not die. And he actually, like, learns how to do some survival type stuff. Like, make a spear. Weave a basket.
Yeah, I like
build a shelter.
I like that one of his decided tasks is basically to try and create a useful thing every day.
That's like... I like that. That's like not... Instead of moping like old Jace would have done about like, oh, why? Why can I not get off this island? He's like, okay, I'm here. Might as well like survive and figure out who I am.
Yeah. I believe the way he actually describes it is committing to his madness.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, no, maybe this entire island is a madness-based illusion, so I'll just act as though I am a sole survivor living on an island and doing what I think someone in that situation would do. Like, that's probably not the healthiest idea, but it worked.
You know, it's like, it's better than moping and being super crazy depressed all the time.
Exactly.
So let's see. I currently have it open and I'm scrolling to see if there's any other points that, like, I need to make. There's a lot of, oh god, illusions. Did I once have friends?
I don't remember. Does he even make it off the island in the first one? Or is the first one is basically just, I live here now.
It's 3/4 of the way through.
Okay.
He tries to get off the island. So he builds a raft. He makes a big old stack of supplies. That's actually after his interaction with the Liliana illusion, where she's her standard snarky rage queen self.
Yeah.
Yeah. And since we're not swearing on this one, there are rude names to call her, but...
Yeah. There are many rude names to call. Liliana is not a nice person.
No, she's not. And
Trying to figure out why on earth she's in the Gatewatch.
Because she can be useful despite all of that.
She can, but they're supposed to be trying to be good people.
And the thing is, I can appreciate her like queen witch sensibilities and like take no prisoners, I'm in charge, y'all, kind of stuff. She's not very nice, and she really uses.
Yes, she is definitely actively using a lot of people in not kind ways.
Yeah, kind of abusive.
Just a bit.
Just a little bit. Okay, so let's see. He gets off the island. Day one, pretty great. Day two, awesome. Day three, oh god. Days three and four, what happens when you're in a little tiny boat in the middle of an ocean?
You slowly go mad.
Well, there's that in storms.
Oh,
big
yeah,
old storms so. And islands. So his raft gets destroyed. He ends up on Bird Island, an island where... oh god, the sentence is the most ridiculous. the white excrement on the rocky island was glistening in the moonlight. It was almost beautiful. Almost.
I assume that's because, oh my god, I found land.
Yeah. And he didn't, so... He gets to Bird Poop Island and is, like, sleeping there and just doesn't move. So he's on the island. He's like, okay, well, I should have stayed where I was before, but you know what? Let's get up. Let's try this again. Let's do this. Let's repeat the Jace. Let's repeat Useless Island day one of make myself a home. There's a lot of, like, oh, I remember more things. And he's, like, it's on this island where he first inadvertently tries to planeswalk.
He did that on the first island, too.
Let's see.
That was, like, one of the first things he did.
Yeah. Well, he tries it again on Bird Poop Island.
Did he do it on, like, more on purpose, though?
Yeah, actually. Oh, okay, It's when he's starting to remember, little memories about himself, where he's like, the line, let's see. The man took a deep breath, and then he tapped into the shining part of himself that he had discovered in the depths of his mind. So that's after, like, thinking about it.
Yeah.
The man felt his body lurch and tried to ride out the panic as his limbs flickered in and out of view. Pieces of himself tried to leave, blinking in and out of view in a delicate haze of blue. Once again, he felt himself violently tugged backward, falling and thrashing until his body hit the rocks of his new island. That familiar circle and triangle sigil appeared over his head, and the man let out a breath when his form condensed once again into flesh. He had failed. So, and then he's like, I will get out of this. I can get out of this. Pass out.
I have failed to get out of this.
I have failed to get out of this. And then, pirates! Yes, pirates. We meet Vraska again, and she's basically like, she knows who he is, he doesn't know who she is at all.
I'm
and
trying to remember, like, why she doesn't kill him.
She threatens to kill him immediately.
I know, but I don't remember why she just doesn't.
I think they actually go into that into the next... The next Jason Vraska story, because then it's the Sun Empire story followed by the...
Okay.
They kind of, like, switch... It's not... So they kind of jump back and forth between whose story it is.
They thankfully do a little bit less of the whole half of a story will be about one person and the other half will be about another person.
Yeah.
Or that atrocious thing they did in... I want to say... It was either Eldritch Moon or Shadows Over Innistrad, where they would jump between four different perspectives back and forth throughout one goddamn story.
Okay, something I noticed with this one is they, I think it was the same two writers for the entire time.
Yes, so I believe it was. Instead of having like
four or five different people writing a story each, it was two people writing the stories, and I think it's a nice level of continuity that we didn't have in
I believe of most of it past. Also had to get referred back to the R&D story team, I want to say?
Yeah.
That feels wrong, but it's something like that. There was a concrete team that was very much set about, here is how we do story.
Mm-hmm.
Or here is the story we are trying to tell here.
Yeah. So back to this. Okay, basically she's like, my ship needs a new figurehead, Valerin. Tell me who you're working for and your death will be a painless one. Mm. He's just like, is that my what? Name? My name? Name? What is name? And basically he's covered in salt, bird poop, and just... He locks eyes on Vraska and he's like, oh, jam.
You know my name. Yay.
You know... Well, also there's like... he locked eyes with a regal woman he could only assume of the ship. She was remarkable. Awesome, badass Vraska art. And then describes how, like, he's like, in awe of her. And then she's like, dude, what the hell happened to you?
My brain is gone.
Because he looks like, he obviously looks like death.
Yes, and for disgusting. Once she's finally seeing him not pretending to be bulked up.
Yes, and yeah.
I still love that.
Like, I am Jace, so therefore I am.
Amazing.
Yeah, he's, like, cat dragged in kind of thing. Which I'm all right. I'm okay with. So. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm being circled by animals for some reason. Not actually sure why.
That's okay. So, lots of fun critters.
Yeah.
Hanging out. I must meet Cal. And
yes. He was briefly on camera and then he disappeared again.
Yeah, and he sounds like a good boy, except for the first thing.
Except for going to eat butter, yes.
Yeah!
If you want more of the story about that, there isn't much more, don't worry. You can find that on The Extra Bits, which is stuff that we've got on Patreon. It's the stuff before and after our podcasts and our D&D shows, where you can hear us swear and get angry and talk about really off-topic crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
mostly good. Angry, though I'm trying to stop doing
a lot
that.
Of, It's like, okay, breathe. Yeah. The rage is not going to help anything.
Nope.
Even though it makes me feel better, because I can draw on the rage.
He knows that I'm not talking, so now he's trying to make noise in the background.
Okay. All right, so that is where the first story ends, and it's like, dude, what the hell happened? You look like death. And then we flash over to the first story about the Sun Empire.
My favorite place ever.
See, I know that you were, like, totally into the dinosaurs and the Sun Empire, but, like, all the stories with the pirates made me want to be a pirate.
I will agree that I think that the,
they have a great dynamic.
The pirates' dynamic is amazing, and I think a lot of them got really well fleshed out. I just like dinosaurs. It is a significant weakness of mine. Love dinosaurs. I can't help it, okay?
I'm not judging you. I happen to like dinosaurs as well. In fact, for Christmas, I got a set of T-Rex salt and pepper shakers from my boyfriend, who knows I am literally a child at heart.
I mean, I know that you're not being hurtful. I'm just trying to be clear here that I love dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And that's not a thing that I can, like, stop or have any desire to stop.
No, not at all. Actually, I was considering making a pirate T-Rex. Because...
I know he's just being loud on purpose.
Aw, he feels at home then.
Yes. He's also
what
just trying to...
What a good little boy. Okay, maybe not good, but silly and fun little boy.
Yes, he tries.
I like animals, and I'm just like, yay!
I love animals, which is why we ended up with a cat.
Yeah, this was they were at brunch with me, and we were like, oh, look at all these cats, and...
I think this should be a thing that we cover in the extra bits.
Yeah, this is extra bits story time. I digress. Okay, so we are now checking out the Sun Empire with the main character of Huatli.
I believe it's Huatli, yes.
Yes, I think it's Huatli.
That is at least the pronunciation that I have now heard and have established as the one that I believe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's vaguely... It's Spanish, but it's like...
It's basically Aztec.
Yeah. And then you have the Spanish-influenced Legion of Dusk, which we'll meet.
Which are also awesome and also massive dickbags.
Oh, such dickbags. Yep. They're like the primary
They're conquistadors. There's no redeeming features to being a conquistador. No. I think we should probably try and move through the stories a little bit quicker, though.
Okay.
Less focus on small details and more pushing through.
Right. So, we meet Huatli, who is a knight of the Sun Empire. And interestingly enough, with the Sun Empire, they also value not just fighting and being awesome warriors, but they also value orators, people who can tell stories and essentially become like these wonderful bardic characters, like warrior bards, who can tell the stories of their people and pass down the histories and the knowledge and the legends. And Huatli is basically like top of the line, runner up, totally going to be like the new warrior poet, which is like this the role that you want to get to.
Yeah.
So Huatli and her dinosaur, and we're learning a little bit about the society and talking about how she wants to be the warrior poet, and she's like one of the best fighters of all time, as well as the best orator. So the first chunk of this is kind of learning about Huatli, a little bit about the Sun Empire, and then she goes to meet with the Emperor, who is the person who is, he's the Emperor. So she goes to meet the Emperor, and she gets to, she gives a giant poem speech. I'm scrolling.
Yeah.
And then we hear first about the Brazen Coalition, which is a pirate, and the Legion of Dusk are basically, in their mind, they're the oppressing forces for the Sun Empire.
Yeah, basically everyone seems to have decided that everyone else wants them dead.
Pretty much.
Though, I don't think any of them have ever actually said specifically, like, yeah, no, we want to get rid of everyone else.
Pretty much.
Everyone just sort of has assumed that the fact that other people have formed organizations mean they want to get rid of all the others. Which I will never understand.
The thing is, I don't think the Brazen Coalition would really do that, but totally the,
I mean, yes, the Legion of Dusk just wants everything, but
they're conquerors. It kind of happens.
But like the River Heralds have just decided that everyone wants to kill all River Heralds.
Everyone is bad.
Yeah. It's like, where are you getting this decision from?
Pretty much. So scrollity scrollity scroll. So we learn about that. Jumps to a month later. They see a brazen coalition ship. And Minotaur!
Angrath, the best planeswalker we've ever had.
With the fiery chain. He's kind of cool.
To be clear, Angrath's whole deal is just, I want to go home. This place sucks.
He literally, all he wants to do is go home and be with his daughters. That's literally, that's what he says in this first, in like one of the first ones. He's just like, I want to just go home. I just want to go home and be with my family.
Yeah, just, this place sucks. I want to go home.
Yeah. So they see the Brazen Coalition ship end up fighting Angrath, and in the fight, Quatley's planeswalker sense is triggered. Her ability to planeswalk is triggered. Her spark is triggered.
Her spark ignites. We actually,
with a burning chain.
Yeah, we have a terminology for this already, so.
Yes. Her spark ignites, and she sees Kaladesh. She ends up jumping to Kaladesh, and then
wait,
back again.
How?
I don't know.
I forgot about this. That's one of my things, is just, how? How did she accidentally jump when literally no one else can?
So she ends up in Kaladesh. And the whole thing with the Sun Empire is they're looking for, I'm gonna butcher this, but give me some hope. They are looking for the lost city of Orazca.
That is correct.
Awesome.
I'm gonna leave this to you, because it sounds like something is going on behind me, so hang on.
That's all right.
Keep going, but I need to
figure out what's going on. So one of the things about Ixalan is everybody is looking for Orazca, the golden city. And Huatli, see, no one has seen Orazca, so they don't actually know what it looks like. So she sees Kaladesh and thinks, oh my god, I just saw Orazca. Because she doesn't know what just happened. She just thinks that she has a vision from the gods and is, oh my god.
And she saw a city that was probably still at least a little bit on fire, made mostly out of metal, so her immediate assumption was Golden City?
Literally, yeah. It's like,
I don't think it's been that long since the literal revolution on Kaladesh, but okay.
So, well, it's been all of, Amonkhet, but...
Yeah, but yeah. Amonkhet mostly took place over, like, a couple of days.
Pretty much. So, she goes to the Emperor and is like, I think I just saw Orazca, the city of our ancestors, because apparently they used to be in charge of Orazca.
I think everyone seems to think they used to be in charge of Orazca.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. So they used to be in charge of Orazca. And then the Emperor is like, you get to be, so when she talks to the Emperor, she tells him what she's seen, and he's like, guess what? If you find Orazca, you are totally definitely the war poet. Which is like, I'm going to dangle all of the things you want.
I'm pretty sure she was already warrior poet, but okay, sure.
She was in all but name.
Yeah.
And then she's like, yeah, okay, we got this. I'm on my journey. I'm going to go find Orazca, and I will be warrior poet. And guess what? I'm an explorer. So that's literally where Huatli is.
It's not actually I'm an explorer, but I will be an explorer because I want this job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the last line is, she was a warrior and she was an orator. And now she was an explorer.
Basically, so
good for you, dear.
I feel bad because whenever I read something like that, all I can think of now is the there's a stupid meme about this immigrant job stealer who's just like, I have all of your job. I have 12 jobs all locked inside my job basement. As though there's some sort of odd commodity that you can trade.
My whole thought is like, oh, you sweet, sweet baby angel. You have so much hope.
Is she really a sweet, sweet baby angel? She has a dinosaur with her.
That doesn't make her any less of a sweet baby angel. Baby angel with a murderous pet.
She's walking around with something that will tear your face off.
No, that's still a sweet baby angel.
She has to actively feed it. That means she feeds it stuff and lets it tear their faces off.
I'm referring to her sheer optimism.
I know, I but this. Still.
I Sweet Baby Angel is what comes to mind.
Oh, hello, Cosmos.
But yeah, so Whatley is very optimistic and she's like, I can do this. I will find Araska. I will be the warrior poet. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, good for you, honey. You do you. And then back to pirates. It talks about how Vraska. It starts with talking about how Vraska is.
Is what?
How Vraska's on Ravnica, and she's like, she's at home, she's happy, and she gets an invitation to meet with Nicol Bolas.
Never, ever, ever, ever accept that invitation. But okay.
Don't do it. Don't. Do it. And he's
not a good man, dragon thing.
Man, he's just not a good person.
Yeah, don't ever meet with the dragon.
Don't
If do a
it.
Dragon asks to meet you in private, say no and run.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, especially when it's a literally evil dragon whose Grixis colored.
Yeah, and he does the thing that all good villains do. Okay, maybe not all good villains, but all predictable villains do, where they dangle the thing you want most above you as, like, I can give you all this power if you do something for me, kind of thing. And he is like, I can make you the Golgari Guildmaster.
I mean, that's... Okay, so here's one of the parts where I can actually be useful.
Yes.
So, the thing is that the Golgari are kind of a strange group. For those not aware, these are the Green-Black Guild on Ravnica. Their big thing is that they deal with what they would like to describe as the less pretty side of life. Because the Selesnya are big on, like, yeah, we've got our conclaves and these beautiful forests and stuff, and we build up to these amazing... like these amazing pseudo-fortresses and forests inside the city, and they're green-white, and it's all about life. Golgari are just like, yeah, life is life and death. You have to sort of deal with that, so they end up dealing with a lot of the city's trash. So they are big on recycling, including stuff like recycling bodies, so they have lots of zombies. The Golgari, for a very long time, were run by a sisterly tribunal of Gorgons, which were overthrown in the first book of the Ravnica series. Don't actually remember why. It had something to do with the Dimir, because the Dimir are the evil shadow house that doesn't actually exist, according to anyone. It's weird. But they were overthrown and killed, and Jerad, who is one of the elf tribe that exists for the Golgari... Hey, Cosmo, stop that. One of the elf tribe that exists in the Golgari was killed... and then resurrected as a zombie, and is currently the guild leader.
Apparently he's a massive bag of dicks.
He's a massive bag of dicks to Gorgons.
Yeah.
Because Gorgons are very good at killing things, which makes them sort of difficult to keep around when you're trying to maintain a power base.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's sort of a thing. The... other issue is there's also some weird stuff that happened there that somehow he has a kid after being dead. Don't ask, it doesn't make any goddamn sense.
If Twilight can do it, magic's gonna do it.
He may not have been dead when she was conceived, but I don't remember for sure.
Sorry, I just had to go there. At post-mortem conception. What?
That makes it so much worse now. Good job. But yeah, the Golgari have an issue with Gorgons in general. So Vraska was basically imprisoned for being a Gorgon.
Which is really sad.
Well, the mercy was basically, we didn't kill you for being a Gorgon. So be happy with that. Yeah, that's pretty much where we're at. With
that gives me such rage feels.
That's fair. That's fair. But yeah, that's pretty much where they're at, is, she spent most of, like, her entire story thing for Ravnica was basically that she had no idea why the hell Jace was there. To be honest, Jace didn't really know why he was there either. But he wanted to, what's it called? Or he ended up being the Living Guild Pact, so she ended up fighting with him because she saw him as a force that was trying to keep Gorgons down and all the other oppressed members of the Golgari.
It's basically like this picture of the slums and the least desirable part of the entire city and stick them underground.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which is really depressing.
Well, they also have literal rot farms.
Yeah.
And they also turn any... So there's a thing with Ravnica where if you die, and even if you have specific instructions for your body, they probably won't be followed, because almost always, your corpse will go to the Golgari, and your spirit will go to the Orzhov, because you usually owe a debt to the Orzhov, because freaking everyone owes a debt to the Orzhov.
Yep.
So essentially, yeah, they have... Sorry, I'm done.
No, I was gonna say Vraska, awesome assassin, like secret nerd, minor revolutionary kind of. I feel like she's got almost like this, like, I want to fix things, but I can't fix things.
She tries,
and just I love this. This is a really great like character building kind of line about how after, well, Nicobolas is offering her all of this like power. She's like. She was humbled, alarmed, and excited all at once. No one had hired her to do anything other than kill before.
Of course, that's kind of what he wanted her to do anyway, but...
Pretty much. Everything about this felt dangerous. Nothing about this beast was trustworthy. But Vraska thought back to her life of contract after contract, death after death, playing a role assigned to her, assigned for her with no opportunity to escape. All she wanted was to lead. Yeah, so I'm just like... Oh, I kind of like you. I feel something for you.
See, I liked Vraska originally because she was really sweet and just didn't get to actually do anything in the story. And, yeah. I mean, yes, her issue was relatively real because she had a legitimate grievance, but at the same time, it kind of got sort of shunted to the side because it was an afterthought. Like... Her entire existence in the original Ravnica story basically was non-existent. They just went, we need a Ravnica planeswalker. Like, a person whose home plane is Ravnica. And a reason why they haven't left Ravnica like everyone else who's ever been there.
But I feel like this kind of gives her something.
Oh yeah, this has definitely built up her story to the degree that it actually deserves. Because she was always cool. But now she has a story to back up being awesome.
She's just cool. I like her.
I'm
looking forward to seeing, and to be fair, like, which you kind of find out over the course of the Ixalan storyline, she treats Jace a lot better than he deserves.
She also treats Jace a lot better than a lot of other people treat Jace.
Exactly. And I'm just like, you're so good, girl. I like you.
Honestly, I think one of the things to point out is that Jace is this classic idea of, actually, it's not that classic. It's a thing that, for some reason, a lot of people don't seem to see an issue with, which is, like, I was bullied as a kid, so that gives me the right to bully. It's like, no, it goddamn doesn't. It means you should know better. And that's the issue, is that Jace has spent a lot of his life basically being continuously bullied, and in response... does kind of the same thing to everyone else.
Yeah. It's like, you should use that opportunity to be kinder to others, to listen. To use the power you've been given responsibly.
I mean, I don't want to get too deep in this because it's an active issue with a lot of nerd communities because we're really bad at that.
Exactly.
But still.
Yeah. So... God.
And now Miriam is choking and dying. Good. This is where we're at in life now.
Oh, God. That was awful.
No dying.
Trying not to. Anyways, good. Story time. So, Vraska gets her assignment from Nicobolas. He gives her the thaumatic. I think it's the... Is it the thaumatic or the thaumaturgic?
It's
the thaumatic.
I think it's thaumatic, but honestly, it's going to be a weird one, yeah.
I scrolled up and I found it. a thematic compass that's going to lead her to the Golden City, which is...
I mean, ultimately, it's the same word, so...
Basically, everybody's trying to find the Golden City of Arrakis.
I'm still trying to figure out why the compass just goes straight there.
They actually talk about that.
Oh, okay.
Jace figures that that's one of the things that Jace does for Vraska. He figures out kind of what makes the compass work, what the compass does.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to reiterate
that I, at best, skimmed over a lot of these.
Where I, like, in-depth read it, and I'm like, okay, I love this. I want to know more. Jace is not terrible.
Yay!
But anyways. So, in this story, God, we're only on chapter 3.
Yeah, we need to go through much faster.
Yes. So we meet Vraska's crew and kind of see a little bit how she's doing as a leader. Pretty awesome. Learn about her ship, her crew. She's got a really healthy relationship as a leader. Her crew actually really like her. Talk about the yada, yada, yada. Talk about the crew, which I have to really like. And it's essentially finding finding Jace from her perspective. Kind of her internal struggle with, like, what is he doing here? The, like, fear and panic. Basically, it's like, you see someone who is terrifying to you, and you just, like, it's your massive fight-or-flight reflex just kicks in.
Yeah. Like, this is literally the one thing that could stop me from becoming the Guildmaster. Is
and fixing
literally
things.
The Living Guild Pack just showed up.
Exactly. And she's just like, I need to figure out who you are. Why? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? What? Who are you, like,
Who sent you? Why are you working?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically all of that. And she's just like, she's fair. Like, she is, like, super fair. That's the one thing that, like, strikes me. She's actually, like, gives him a chance to explain what's happening. And when he's like, I don't know a thing. Who are you? Like, literally, this line is, like, a good description of it. Vraska couldn't believe this. Why the hell was he so chipper? Where was the pasty, moody guild pact she knew and loathed?
Yep.
To
be fair, he's barely the guild pact. He
barely.
He hasn't done his freaking job in however long he's been away from, Ravnica. It's been a while.
Yeah. He accidentally reads her mind and in Jace fashion, and he's like, oh god, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry.
Wait, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that he apologized is not something that Jace has done in the past.
Yeah. Because he didn't mean to, like, he reads what's happening. He kind of, like, in the stupid Jace thing that he can do where he reads people's minds, he saw some of the stuff with that's happened to her in the past, where she's been beaten, locked away, and he's like, oh god, I'm sorry, that should never have happened to you. And because, like, he doesn't remember anything.
Yeah.
And then they have this whole talk about, like, who you are is not who you were, and then she's like, you know what, he's helpless.
He's basically a sad, stupid puppy.
Yeah. He's a sad, stupid puppy with a really big amount of curiosity. And yeah, so basically he proves useful. They end up fighting their first, Legion of Dusk group. Vampires on the Legion of Dusk. Yada, yada, yada. Big old pirate battle, which is awesome. Jace proves super, super useful. The pirates are awesome. You hear a little bit about the Legion of Dusk and their Saint Alenda.
She was the original vampire, right?
Yes.
Okay.
She's the original vampire. And she comes back later in the story, which is kind of cool. Basically, Jace makes a really good pirate.
Yeah. Surprisingly. He makes a really good
pirate. And even though, and Vraska's like, I kind of enjoy your presence, even though you're kind of a bag of, you've been a bag of dicks in the past.
Massive bag of dicks.
Massive bag of dicks, but you're being helpful and useful? Okay, we'll keep you around.
For now.
Okay. Chapter 4. River Herald. It's actually called The Shaper, but literally it's you're talking about the River Herald, because they shape the river.
And they're actually... what they refer to their magic users as, right?
Yeah. Okay. There are 9 of us Shapers who lead the 9 great tribes, and they're named after the river. Basically, they become... So this is the part that was kind of weird to me. I was called, so this is one of the characters talking. I was called something else not so long ago when I was but another shaman swimming these rivers. But the river Kapala chose me as it chose Kapala before me. So I am Kapala and Kapala is me. I guess they sort of take on.
Yeah, they take on the name of whatever river they're representing.
Yeah. But it's almost like the river chooses them.
Yeah.
I don't know. So very like elemental, like very much river elemental like magic kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And they are essentially the Tishana, who is the oldest of the nine tributaries, is kind of the protector of the knowledge of Araska.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's really weird. So one of the shapers, Shaper Kumena, is the one who wants to find Araska and, like, possess its power and basically fight everyone.
Hey, Cat.
Basically fight all the things, all the peoples. Because in their mind, the Legion of Dusk, the Sun Empire, and the, oh god, pirates. I don't remember their name.
Brazen Coalition.
Thank you. The Brazen Coalition are all their enemy.
Leave
and they're all looking...
Sorry, there was food on my desk and he was trying to eat it.
Aw. Basically, Tishana is like, what's wrong with them finding Araska? There's nothing wrong with them finding Araska. Because Tishana's old. She kind of knows a lot more than everyone else does. And Kumena's like, but if they take it, it's we failed in our duty. We should get there first and, like, take over its power and destroy all.
It's like, that's why is that your plan?
Yeah, and pretty much, and then flashes to, basically, Kumena goes, knocks out Tishana and goes looking for it to take the power, and basically, Tishana had told Kumena, no, you can't take this. We're supposed to just protect it. We're supposed to, like, wield the power.
Yeah. We protect, don't use.
Yeah, and he's like, screw that. Punches out Tishana, like, sucker punches her, and goes and looks for it himself. And that is literally all that chapter... That took less time.
Yes. I mean, that chapter was mercifully short.
Yes. Quick tea break.
Okay. Yeah, I believe that's the guy, I'm sorry, the shaper names do not stick with me at all, but I believe that's the one who becomes Tyrant of Araska in...
Yes.
Rivals, right?
Yes. Okay. Essentially what they're trying to do is stop him, they don't stop him in time.
No, they don't. He gets in fact, there. Like, one of the chapters is just, he gets there before everyone else.
Yeah, pretty much. Back to the pirates. They go to, it's basically like... Jace is doing good. They're starting to like him. He's not a total bag of dicks, and he's actually pretty useful. Then they go to essentially what is their, like, pirate main hub for all the pirate crews.
We know the name of it, and I can't remember it.
The High and Dry.
The High and Dry, yeah, because I think we have an actual, like, card for it.
Mm-hmm. And it's made of a bunch of broken coalition ships, which is kind of cool. I think, oh god, what's the name of, in Pirates of the Caribbean... In the third one.
I don't remember, but I know what you're talking about. I just don't remember.
Yeah, it's kind of, that's how I pictured it in my brain, and that's what it sounds like. So big piratey pirate town. It's great. You get to see a little bit about the crew, which is really fun.
Sorry, that's a cat jumping in boxes.
So, I actually really... So this is just a short little thing about how much I love pirates, but I really like how they've developed the crew, and it's not just like... There's a little bit of character development. How there's a crew and they like each other and they respect family. And they have a goblin named Breeches who's like standard goblin ridiculousness, which always makes me laugh.
Well, we don't have enough standard goblin ridiculousness, clearly.
Yeah. Okay, so most of the crew goes off in parties after they're destroying the Legion of Dusk ship. Jace and Malcolm and Braska. So Malcolm is another member of the crew who's like a good, he's almost like third mate or something like that, because there's Melia the quartermaster who's on the ship keeping watch, you know, standard piratey business. You don't leave the ship completely empty. So,
unless you're in a Pirates of the Caribbean movie and then you're just stupid.
Yeah, that's when the ship gets taken.
Yeah, every freaking time.
Every time. Oh. They go to a really shitty tavern. Sorry. They go to a terrible tavern.
Miriam.
Basically, I know. It slipped out. They go to a really bad tavern to talk kind of away from listening ears, which they fail at. And they, Vraska is telling Jace kind of what they're looking for, talking about the thematic compass. But Jace is like thinking that Jace is doing his like inadvertent listening to the minds of others. And he thinks that someone is listening to them. But yada, 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 talking about their mission. Then it becomes like super personal. Jace and Vraska talking about like the philosophy of reading minds and how it's not good to read minds. And it's talking about, she's kind of like talking about Jace, who he was and how they're not great. And he shows her Ravnica and he kind of like vaguely remembers. And it's, oh yeah, this is Ravnica.
It's like, you know, that place that you're supposed to be at.
Yeah. There's actually a really like insightful conversation moment that they have, where he's asked her if he can read minds and she's like, yeah, minds, but answers him in her mind. So he's like, oh, okay. So this, I'm not crazy. I'm just hearing people's thoughts. So she asks him, what is it like knowing you're a telepath? Realizing I am an illusionist was delightful. Telepathy has more teeth to it. Teeth? Minds are absurdly delicate. Everything that makes a person who they are is red. You're a sledgehammer surrounded by cobwebs, she said. You realize that, right? A goddamn sledgehammer.
I mean, there's a thing later in the rival story where she's basically getting flashes of his past.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's started to, like, remember stuff, but...
Through head trauma.
Yeah, but is also...
I think he's projecting it at the same time as he's remembering.
Yeah, he's remembering stuff and can't... And I don't remember the way she describes it, but it basically... She's describing it similar to, like, you break the faucet that was keeping everything inside, and now it just all starts flooding out. And, like, she's getting a whole bunch of random bits of his memory, and I've now forgotten what bit of his memory I was going to specifically call out.
Oh, is it when he destroys the Sphinx?
Yeah, like, he accidentally,
They actually talk about that in this chapter.
Okay, so, well, effectively for...
Like it's one image of it. It's a picture of a lion with the face of a man.
So, Jace's origin
wailing
story...
Wailing in terror.
So, Jace's origin story is essentially that he grew up on a plane called Vryn, where it was discovered pretty early on that he was dang smart and that he was a very powerful telepath. The Sphinx, who was teaching him, also discovered that he was a planeswalker and would send him out on missions to planeswalk places and would then wipe his memory of having done those missions and having planeswalked. So, like, he planeswalked for the first time, like, at least a dozen times, and ended up sort of having sort of a psychic duel with the Sphinx, though at a time when he didn't actually realize that the Sphinx had been abusing him. And it was supposed to be sort of a practice thing and ended up accidentally destroying the Sphinx's entire mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then desperately trying to see if he could put it back together. It didn't work out that well, but he tried.
Yeah, and it just... It's one of those things where, like what you mentioned before, where you've been bullied so much, and yet you don't use your power for some... kind of thing.
Well, the issue is that he totally uses his power totally freely.
Yeah.
It's that... Jace, who's missing large chunks of his memory, thinks that he shouldn't do that.
Yeah, which is, like, kind of sweet.
Yes, assuming he carries it forward.
Yeah. So they, at one point, they leave the tavern and end up back on the ship, and they end up talking about their past, and she shares with him a bit about herself, and it's oddly enough, for me, I really like person-to-person interactions where, like, you really get to get to know a character and you feel for them.
Yeah.
And you almost, they become sympathetic to you. And this whole, like, episode just, oh, God, the sharing, the personal, like, letting a person into on with you was a lot. Because Raska's telling Jace.
You blanked out there. Telling Jace what?
About herself.
Oh, okay.
And about her struggles, and kind of he wants to do all he can to help. And this is where the whole issue with this is where the trying to figure out the thematic comes in. And he, in his usual Jace, like, I'm gonna tinker with this.
Possibly end terribly.
I know. He disassembles it and is trying to figure it out, and then he, I'm gonna try reaching to this strange part of myself that makes me me. And so that's his planeswalker spark. And he figures out that what the compass is pointing towards is a massive hub of magical energy. And it's like the due north, the north, the true north is this hub of magical energy for the compass.
So basically, it's literally just a compass that goes, where's the biggest source of magic? That way!
Yes.
Like, I like that, in theory, this could totally work on any plane, mm-hmm. and it would just take you to probably, like, the most significant ley line.
Yeah. Or, like, one of the biggest ether stores or things like that, if you're on Kaladesh.
But, oh, yeah, that would basically just be, where is the biggest store of gas on Kaladesh? Yeah, that's a weird one, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah, I was like, this would just take you to the biggest supply of ether that is on Kaladesh.
That's very weird.
Yeah, so he basically is like, I fixed it! Raska, I know what this is! And a storm and River Herald, because the River Heralds protect the rivers, and basically, if there's a pirate ship sailing and it's like, pirate ship's going to die.
Kill pirate, kill.
Kill the pirates. Kill the pirates. Kill all the pirates. Okay, and I'm going to sum up chapter 6 real fast.
Okay.
We truly actually meet the Legion of Dusk. We have characters. There's a thing called the Blood Fast where priests basically fast from consuming all blood, so they go into almost a manic state of euphoria and see Saint Elenda and talk to her and try to figure out, basically, I forsook sustenance to bring myself closer to the blessed Saint Elenda, and here I stand.
Yeah.
And basically,
they're crazy.
They're crazy. They're batshit. They're batty. They're batty, batty, batty. And basically, you're a starving vampire, and there's this whole, like, first sort of feast thing that you do after you've been fasting, and there's a whole ceremony. We get to hear about more their their way of belief. And we end up, his name is Maverin Fine. He's a big old priest dude. And then we meet Vana, who is Vana of Aiedo, Color of Sinners, Butcher of Megan, and she is like super conquistadora person.
Yeah.
And the Legion of Dusk is looking for Raska because Saint Elenda, apparently it's like this power source that is going to like allow them to take over everything. And yeah. So they're looking for it. Vaughn is trying to find it. She's like brutal. And like, here's a good example. Vaughn strode forward. This is after Vaughn strode forward and looked down her nose at the pirate. Do you recognize the sovereignty of Queen Miralda? Yes, I do. The vampire sneered. Then you should know what Her Majesty thinks of liars. I find you guilty of deceit and a criminal in the eyes of the church. Rips his throat out.
Yeah, they're not nice people.
No, she's not. Back to Jace and the pirates in the River Herald. They have a shipwreck. They're trying to get the crew back together. They're trying to go off to, find Raska. The crew is going to go fight the vampires, so that Jace and Raska can go and find Raska because they're on the island where it's supposed to be, in the forest.
They have a lot of trust in the compass.
Lots of trust in the compass, lots of traveling, basically like mutual support and having a great relationship. Back to Huat Li. So, been a while, but we now have Huat Li. Huat Li is going to team up with T'Shaanna eventually, because she finds T'Shaanna after she got sucker punched by what's his face that starts with a K.
I had it, now I've lost it.
I lost it.
I'm going to go find it.
I know the other one is Kumena, but I can't remember the like massive fart bag's name.
Oh, I thought it was Kumena.
It might be. I'm thinking of the other one.
I mean, Kumena. He's the tyrant of Araska, so I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's Kumena. After Kumena sucker punched her, Huat Li and T'Shaanna come to, I guess, an agreement where it would be bad if Kumena, I guess what the phrase is, Kumena means to unbalance radical dependencies. So,
that's
yeah.
a phrase that makes no sense, but okay, sure.
Yeah, basically they're very like, the balance of the world, with a little bit more like fighting is kind of the elementals.
Yeah.
So, Huat Li, because she's like, I saw a golden city. T'Shaanna's like, you saw a golden city. Fine, whatever. I think I saw Araska. And so T'Shaanna agrees to lead her to it.
Yeah.
It's very grudging. It's not very like, I'm gonna totally lead you to it. It's like, fine, whatever. We see a little bit about T'Shaanna's power, basically making her own wild growth walker as her like feed.
Yeah. Pretty much. I don't have a better way to describe it than that.
Yeah, it's a steed. She's using it as a steed, and okay. They're off to go find Araska, but they need the compass. So they're off to go try to get the compass from Araska and Jace.
Yeah.
Okay, chapter 7.
Wait, is this still race. Original...
This is original Ravnica. This is not Ravnica Ixalan.
Yeah.
This is the last chapter.
Okay. I think we're probably going to end off with the end of Ixalan, and then we might just have to do Rivals as a second episode.
Let's just do it as a second episode, because holy goodness gracious, I am like super summoning.
Summarizing?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Super summarizing all of this.
Okay.
So...
Last one.
Okay.
Which is literally just run! Run up the stairs! Run!
Basically. Araska and Jace in a boat going up river. Find Araska is literally what they're trying to do.
Okay. Sail! Sail faster!
Sail! Sail for your lives! It's like them being super sweet and adorable and like, aw, friendship. Dinosaurs. Okay. So they're sailing upriver. This is like day... I don't even know of what sailing upriver is. Vampires. Attack by Vaana. So Vaana takes the compass. Yeah. Basically, everyone's trying to get the thematic compass because it's leading them to the... they're leading them to Araska. So this is one of those times when all the groups interact at once. The vampires have the compass. Jace hears T'Shaanna and Huat Li. He hears their minds and they're like, oh, where are you going? We want this compass. It's an illusion. Trying to get the compass. They don't have the compass.
Hang on, are you doing like, race 1 or race 2?
Because race 2.
Okay, good. I
race
didn't
2. This is the Sorry. Last one. This is race 2.
Okay. Race I didn't realize you made it to race 2. Sorry.
Yeah, this is what... Yeah, I am, like, super summarizing.
Yeah.
I'm ignoring all of the, like, emotional character building type stuff that I really like. Just for story. So, Huat Li and T'Shaanna are after the compass... They meet up with Jace and Araska. They're like, do you have the compass? And they're like, no, we don't have it. And they're like, whatever. Off to go catch the vampire to get the compass. Jace and Araska are now off after the vampire with the compass. Lots of images of the Ixalan. Okay, so Huat Li and T'Shaanna meet up with Vaana. And now they're fighting, and they, dinosaur trying to eat the vampire. Great. I love this. You'll like this. So Huatli, is taunting Vana. What, were there no jungles in Torizon? Are you uncomfortable? Her eyes lit with an amber glow, and her dinosaur rumbled a growl.
I'm just gonna...
Please. So there's Huatli instructed.
There's also the line of, so eventually Huatli and Angrath end up sort of working together, because Angrath is just like, I want to leave! I don't want to deal with any of this crap! I just want to go home! And for some reason ends up convincing Huatli to work with him, because it's basically just like, look, he starts telling her, like, no, you're like me. I'll never be like you. Like, no, idiot, not like that. I'm not going to harm you. We're both planeswalkers.
Yep.
That is almost an exact quote. It's just like, whatever prevents us from leaving this plane is locked in that city. We can help each other escape to different worlds if we find it. A small glimmer of hope and wonder bursts into Watley's confusion. Angrath continues, and all we have to do is kill everyone who tries to steal Araska from our grasp. Watley's hope vanishes, and a sick malaise filled her gut. Spectacular, she thought to herself. The murder monster wants to be my friend.
Because there's this... Okay, so even in, like, the section that I'm looking at right now, apparently the Warriors of the Sun Empire don't actually kill.
Not really.
Yeah. They never kill.
That's sort of a another Aztec. It's less Aztec and more Mayan. They had a, I can't remember the name of it, but it's basically a thing where you would not kill people. You would basically try and claim them as effectively slaves.
Mm-hmm. But I thought you would appreciate the she commands her dinosaur to seize Vana. Shake Vana, and then release Vana, and then try to eat Vana. But in very much like a seize, shake.
Yeah.
Release.
It's instructing a dog.
It's great. So, Tishana betrays Huatli, takes it, and runs. And also gets captured by the Brazen Coalition. Meets up with Jason, Raska. Then here's the whole Angrath thing that you talked about.
Yep. And then
they've got the compass back from Tishana.
And effectively, Raska and Jace see the city and end up going over a waterfall.
Yep. And Jace.
Yeah, Jace hits his head and begins remembering everything. Everything that he has ever forgotten, because he's had his mind wiped a lot more than he thought.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's actually kind of...
He had no memory of his childhood before now. Now he does.
I know. It's kind of sad. But basically, he goes over the waterfall, and Raska goes after him.
Yeah. And then realizes, oh god, he's remembering everything. Oh no, this is bad.
And because he's, like, not shielding at all, he's manifesting everything.
Yeah, this is the point where, the next one picks up with Rivals, but basically this is the point where, it's that thing where someone broke the fire hydrant, so water just starts exploding outwards.
This is the card Flood of Recollection, literally what's happening.
Yeah.
The flavor text sums it up really well. Jace tumbled down the waterfall, plunged deep into his past. That's literally what's happening, is everything, all at once.
But I think we are going to end off there, so thank you very much for joining us for... We're calling it 26 of The Lair of Lore. We will be back next week talking about the Rivals of Ixalan story, and probably a little bit of how we're going to be heading, somehow, over to Dominaria with the Gate Watch, but we'll get there when we get there.
Yes.
So, if you like what you heard, you can follow the rest of the stuff we do over at lairoflore.com. You can see our Twitch streams every Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, along with potential bonus streams on Tuesdays and Sundays. Most of our streams will run sometime around 6:30 p.m. Mountain Time until we're done, though some streams may run longer or start earlier, just a warning. You can see the full schedule for our planned streams at lairoflore.com/streams. If you like what we do, you can choose to support us over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/layerofloor. Are you noticing a theme yet? You can get access to stuff like the Extra Bits, which is the before and after, where we swear a lot more. I'm not going to censor this episode, but to be clear, none of those words should have been said. I just don't want to have to edit them all.
Yeah, I owe the swear jar a lot of money.
Yeah. So, you can also get access to Patreon-only D&D series, and if you choose to... I can't remember what I named any of these tiers, so I need to go check them really quick, because I feel bad about not remembering.
There's been some restructuring.
There has been some restructuring, because we were running a 365-day streaming challenge for a while, which meant I couldn't put a lot of time in other stuff. So we've got a couple of tiers, so let me run through them real quick before I forget. We've got puppies in the lair! You've earned our endless and eternal gratitude, along with access to the special Derpy Puppy Feed, which may need a rename, because now we also have a dumb cat.
The pets of lore?
Yeah.
The menagerie of lore.
That might actually have to work. Basically, it's just silly photos and videos of our dogs and cats being adorable. Then our next tier is Echoes in the Lore. You still earn the Derpy Puppy Feed and the endless eternal gratitude of all of us. You'll also begin receiving all content that we produce 24 to 48 hours early, as well as access to like the Extra Bits and After Souls, which is the stuff after our D&D campaigns.
Which is fun.
And some of our...
Some of the lost episodes are on there, aren't they?
Yes. All of the lost episodes are, like, I think they're at a $1 or a $5 tier, yeah. Up next, we've got Paintings in the Lore, which is everything from before, as well as your name will appear at the end of every stream in our end slate for every month that you back at that tier. You also get access to our Discord server as a patron. And at least once a month, we will run a patron-only stream, basically just for, hey, all, what do you want us to do? We will do something for the stream. We can focus on games or doing food again, because we don't have a food stream going right now.
Yeah.
And it will all be voted on by our patrons. At the next tier, you've got Shout Into the Lair. Everything above, on top of all of the above, you will get a personal audio thank you from Cap, Haley, hopefully Miriam if we can grab her, and any dogs that happen to jump into said recording, as they are wont to do. You'll also be added to a drawing each month for our Patreon D&D campaign. Once we have at least 3 people at that tier, we will basically run a campaign for whatever 3 to 5 people that we draw out of a hat that month. We'll basically try and talk with everyone to figure out what exactly we want to run, and it will be some sort of D&D campaign. To be fair, it might also just be another RPG, because I know a couple of other ones, and I'm willing to run some, because I find it a lot of fun. We'll run a campaign with you over... we will consult with everyone before we stream it, but it will either be streamed or it will be broadcast just to other patrons at the $5 or higher tier. And we'll also take 2 music requests from everyone at that tier to add to our playlist of songs that we'll play during our streams. And we've got 2 more. Sorry, almost done. Promise. Significantly better at Shouting Into the Lair. Basically, we will consult you a lot more heavily if you get randomly picked for a campaign. We will try and base that campaign a little bit more about what you're looking to play that month. Additionally, we will also name NPCs in different campaigns after you, assuming you're not playing that month. And we will also, your name will also appear in Aramor, which is a original scripted project that Haley and I have been working on for kind of a long time, and we're hoping to actually put out the first episode of within the next couple months. And then the last and final tier is the Gourmand. Everything. You get literally everything from above this point. This will also be the point where we can start doing cooking streams as a regular featured event again.
Mm-hmm.
And basically this means that for every month that you back at the Gourmand tier, you get everything else we've talked about, as well as shipping you whatever food we make on stream.
Whatever the tasties are.
Yes. And ideally, this will basically mean that once a month, we will send you a care package that will contain at least some amount of candy because I love making candy. It will contain some amount of homebrew because I love homebrewing. And, as I describe it, maybe even some real human food.
Yeah, just in the past we've sent, safe. What have we sent out? We've sent out little jars of onion chutneys, like sweet onion chutney. We've sent out hand pies. We've sent out
lots of tasty things. Oh, those hand pies were so good.
The hand pies were to bomb.
Yeah.
That was a fun episode. So yeah, there's lots of cool stuff that you can get if you subscribe.
So yes, if any of that sounds in any way interesting to you, please check out patreon.com/layerofLore. Again, you can find everything we do over at layeroflore.com, including the podcast when it goes up originally, because it sometimes takes me a while to get it up on MTGcast. You can also find everything we do at youtube.com/layeroflore and twitch.tv/layeroflore. Are you noticing a theme?
It's everything is the same thing.
Yep, we're also on Twitter and Facebook under the same names. And last but not least, you can even email both of us at masterminds@layeroflore.com if you have questions, comments, any sort of feedback that you want to give.
Just say hi.
Yeah, that's what it's there for. Oh, there's a very, very tired puppy underneath my desk now. Anyway, thank you all so very much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.